Welcome to the Axelon Archive, the highest-rated Beast Wars podcast on Apple Podcasts, where we watch each and every episode of the 90s CG cartoon Beast Wars. I'm James.
I'm Dude.
Today, we're flying solo again for episode 41, the second episode of season 3, Deep Metal, which aired on November 1st, 1998. So we're quickly coming to the end of the 98, looks like. Anyways, directed by Owen Hurley. This is the last of his episodes, so we're gonna miss you, Owen. This is a pretty good one to end on.
Yeah.
And of course, written by Larry DiTillo. This is his second to last episode. And, this episode's kind of a weird one. I forget whether we talked about it on air, but I knew, Morpheus mentioned that this is where the show gets a little bit kiddy, like Hasbro kind of like pushing back and saying, hey, you can't have like this big heroic sacrifice episode or whatever. And while you get some of this, you also get some stuff that's like surprisingly violent for a kid's cartoon when we get there.
It's cartoon violence, though, by which I mean it's kind of fantastical.
Yeah, but it does involve a guy getting impaled. But I'm getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. There's no blood, so the sensors will be fine with it.
Not even mech fluid.
Yeah.
So, we open up panning under Mount St. Hilary, which, I don't know if we really addressed that, like, but if you're in case you're wondering, yes, that's a reference to Mount St. Helens, because Transformers was made in the 80s.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, you see the Maximals setting up our new headquarters. They have, like, a big bulky blast door made out of the remains of the Axelon, kind of keep Preds from going in. Silverbolt and Black Arachnia are in turrets outside. And this is also, like, basically the only thing they do in this episode.
I don't think I actually have any lines.
No.
Yeah.
And, we cut to where Rhinox is trying to set up the rest of the remaining bits of the Axelon Bridge and not having much success. Optimus saying, well, we gotta get on the way, because, like, Maximals hopefully will be sending stuff soon. And Rhinox says, you think they would have sent someone by now. Let's face it, Prime, no one is coming. Then, smash cut to space, where someone is in fact coming. We get a darkened ship's cockpit with a Maximal symbol. So we know that this is, in fact, so it's not another Predacon agent, but someone who has beef and is tracking Protoform X.
The computer tells him that this sector has been labeled forbidden by the High Council.
He says, slag the High Council.
Yeah. This, should we say his name yet?
We'll say it just yet, but this is a new player to this show.
Yes. He's got an audio cable hooked up to his console going straight into his forehead. Actually, his temple.
Mm-hmm.
Just a detail I thought was weird.
It's kind of like when Tigertron was hacking in that one episode.
That is honestly what I thought of, too.
Yeah. Alright. So, yeah, it's fun. So when he encounters a wormhole of some kind. I don't know if this gets explained.
No, the headcanon is basically, because he gets the anomaly transmetalizes him. The only thing, it would have to be something from the Valk. So maybe it's an explosion, maybe it's as a result of the explosion of the Metal Hunter.
Yeah, it could also be leftover part of the time storm. Yeah. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. Yeah. Not too important.
Yep.
The point is he flies through it and gets knocked out for when he, will land on Earth. Anyways, we cut to the dark side, and we find out, which, shockingly, when you stop and think about it, has managed to make it through this series better than the Axelon, even though it has also been blown up several times, and its bottom is, like, completely consumed by lava.
And, like, when it landed, it's basically been cut in half.
Yeah. Still mostly in one piece. Inferno's apparently gotten that hasn't happened. We don't cut there yet. We find out, but Inferno and Rampage are scouting out the Ark. Apparently, Inferno is now a sub-commander. and tries bossing around Rampage, who treats him with the exact amount of respect he deserves by running off as soon as Inferno goes, since he detects a familiar presence.
Yeah, which, considering the fact that he hasn't technically gone through the time portal yet, that would mean that he's either, like, precognating the fact his arrival.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. Don't you understand? Yeah. I don't even watch Doctor Who, and I get that. Yeah, so we cut to space as the ship comes through and ends up just descending through the sky. It reminds me of it falls down through the sky and Cheetah sees it, the ocean. He calls back to base and, you know, that suddenly perks up Optimus and Arnox is like, oh wait, a ship's coming? We better get out of here. And as he's flying out, Inferno begins his attack and charges the ship kind of like flailing his arms, and to which gets no supporting fire because, again, Rampage is not there. Watches in frustration as Optimus, like, flies out over his head, to which, like, Black Arrow and Silver look at each other, and instead of even just shooting him, they drop a rock on him. So...
This is really hilarious to watch, along with his antics earlier when him and Rampage are scouting.
Yeah. So keep in mind this level of cartoonish violence when our two rivals finally meet up. So yeah, the new ship crashes into water. I noted Dagobah style, since when they go up, it's from a POV from like inside the cockpit as the water splashes up. So it reminded me of like when Luke was crashing Dagobah Empire Strikes Back. Probably not entirely a coincidence.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And like to note that we said this last week, but they got really good at animating water by this point.
Yeah. I think I put in my notes, like, Anime's like, guys, we got a new, like, water package. Animation package. I mean, it's no, like, Finding Nemo or anything, but, like, for, you know, late 90s cartoon, better, and it doesn't look like it's just, you know, like, a texture on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be really hard. It might be because of the budget differences, but... in Beast Machines, like, it's really hard for him to animate fire. So I guess fluid dynamics are easier than plasma dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is tricky. I kind of wish we had someone like a computer animator coming on so we could, like, ask questions about like that, but...
We do have a character designer coming up later in the season.
This is true. I don't know how much Shannon will know about this, but you never know.
Yeah, she was an animator before she became a character designer.
Oh. Okay, good point.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Know something at least, yeah.
Anyways. So, Cheetor tries to help the down ship, but Rampage turns up and says, this game is not for you, kitty, and blasts him out of the sky. And then says, now it's your turn, old friend. And I notice he actually crab walks out of the scene. You don't actually get to see him do that much.
Probably hard to animate.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the fact that not a lot actually happened in this episode, I think a lot of the budget went towards animating stuff.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, we cut to the ship where it activates its transformation scanner. And after moments, we get our new mask comes out and he get his name, Jet Charge, as he transforms into a manta ray.
I got a question. So... Sure. Is every single maximal vessel, because this is a one-man ship, is every maximal vessel just equipped with a beast mode scanner?
I'd assume so. I mean, like, if they can fit it onto stasis pods, there's no reason they can't fit it onto their ships.
I guess. I just feel like not every ship would actually need it.
I mean, Ravage didn't, but Ravage didn't really care about trying to fit in.
Yeah, I guess it depends on... Well, also another thing, like depending, like considering what he was going on a journey for, why would he assume he would need one?
Yeah, to blend in with the local populace. Not that he's blending in very well. I mean, technically, like you don't even have like the season one explanation for why Steph needs a beast form
Oh, actually, I actually had a note about why he would need a beast form. The ship does it automatically. He doesn't initiate it. So it probably just senses that he's, you know, damaged and needs repair. Beast modes are, like, do internal repairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry,
one thing. Depth Charge is a blue manta ray. So he is the original Blu-ray.
You're proud of that one, aren't you?
I didn't come up with it. I should say that.
You could have lied. I would have bought it.
Oh no! Anyone who looked at TF Wiki would have called me out.
Anyway, so he transforms and starts going to water and launches off a shark drone to kind of go with it, and eventually sees Cheetor's like slowly sinking body, and decides to assist him since he sees that he is in fact a Maximal. And that's when we actually, like, cut back to the dark side. And Megatron reviews the process of the operation, which is, you know, not gone very well.
Nope, Inferno is not functioning and Rampage is MIA.
Yeah. So he sends Wasp Mater to salvage Inferno, which we get this classic line. Inferno blow up. Wasp Mater must salvage. Wasp Mater blow up. Nobody salvage! Why universe hate Waspinator? Yeah, I forgot that that episode is where we get why universe hate Waspinator from. Anyways, he sends Quickstrike to retrieve Rampage. Because apparently, like, Rampage is able to evade his sensor somehow. And what I think, like, ooh, is this going to be a plot going in the season? But according to the episode notes, like, no, it doesn't get really brought up a lot after that, which is... regrettable.
Mm.
Anyway, it might. I wonder if it's something that like they planned exploring more, but they kind of got cut short on the season. I mean, it would be an interesting idea.
Sorry, go ahead.
Because mm-hmm. Because it would be an interesting idea if like Rampage could wander off on his own and just like kind of add a power play between like him and Megatron, just like. Like, oh yeah, you can hurt my spark, but I have a way to get around with you without you seeing me.
Yeah, I think if what's going to happen if you tried that is Megatron's going to be like, yeah, even if I can't see you, I can still squeeze your spark.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter where you are, you're going to be screaming in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, I think this is the last we see of Waspinator's episode, so Waspinator doesn't get scrapped for once.
Nope.
Yeah.
He just gets stuck on salvage duty.
Yeah. Oh, someone else gets scrapped and he has to clean it up, which is marginally better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only time that happens in the entire show. Mm-hmm. And will not be happening again.
Yep. So Cheetor wakes up and says, "Who in the spotted heck are you?" And
I would have liked him to say Spotted Pit. That would have just been...
Yeah, it's weird. We get Heck here, and then we get Pit later.
That just would have been some really weird implications of the term Spotted Pit.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, Jeff Charge tells him, like, hey, you're okay, but I got bigger... But then he immediately says, like, oh, he seems to have a built-in sensor that's just solely dedicated to tracking Protoform X, because that is very much his deal.
Something we should mention is that when Cheetor asks him, who are you, he says, I'm Depth Charge. Like, Depth Charge is very much Batman.
Oh, yes. No, there's definitely a bit coming up where he does, like, a very Batman move.
Yeah, well,
a couple things, but...
Like, we've mentioned before that Rampage is basically the Joker, this is probably why they introduced Depth Charge to be his Batman alternate.
Yeah.
And just to save space, while I was writing my notes, I started abbreviating his name with initials, and I realized he is so much a Batman that his initials are DC.
That's good.
Yeah.
Anyways, he goes back under the water, looks for Rampage, and you get a cool moment where... The Rampage is, like, underneath one, or it's, like, camouflaging himself with some rocks, and Depth Charge scanning, like, is, like Rampage, Protoform X location, 000, is like, wait, how is that possible? Before Rampage, like, lunges up and, like, grabs him with his claws, and we get a strange, like, Greetings, old playmate. So glad you could come. X. I'm called Rampage now. A bit obvious, but to the point, don't you think? It should be noted that I'm pretty certain Depth Charge never calls Rampage by his name. He just calls him X. It's like, that is, like, part of his deal.
Protoform X does not deserve a name.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
I also forgot when Depth Charge strands Cheetor, he just, like, his calm and his jets are not working because of, like, the bath he took, and he says just like, I hate water. Which I'm gonna say, it's like, Cheetor, you're not an actual cat, you know that.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, they grapple before Rampage, Depth Charge uses his alternate vehicle mode, where he basically has a flight mode, where the Manta Ray rings kind of fold up to the side and do, like, kind of delta. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure how to describe this. Like, we'll include a pic. We're obviously going to include a picture of his toy in that mode, so mm-hmm. you'll see it. But then blasts out of the water, which, as Cheetor, like, is like, now I've seen everything. And just like, Cheetor, you seem like literal aliens and, like, planet busters. That doesn't seem quite as weird as some of the other things.
A giant crab tank riding on a flying manta ray?
Yeah.
That's probably up there.
Yeah. And, as I said, so, yeah, at the beginning, it was like, oh, I guess the violence is gonna go down and get kitty. And during this fight, Rampage, like, pulls a strip of metal off of, Depth Charge's head, kind of exposing circuitry, and then Depth Charge manages to, like, shake him off, and he falls into, like, a bed of spikes that's along the shore? I'm not entirely sure why those are there. But one of them impales, like, Rampage through, like, the chest.
Like, yeah, straight through way where his heart would be.
Yeah. If he had a heart.
If I only had a heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets up, pulls it out, and then apparently his immortality includes, like, automatic healing. Because we actually see the hole close.
Yeah, full-on Wolverine regeneration.
Yeah.
As he... I mean, that, I guess it explains, like, why he's able to recover when, like, he gets, like, blown up and left alone.
Well, the real question is, why did he need the CR chamber in his introduction episode?
Maybe he can't heal, like, Energon overload.
Oh, I forgot he had that. I thought it was maybe because of, like... He had his spark carved out with an Energon blade. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's at the very least.
That too.
I feel like that would have at the very least take some time to heal. So maybe Megatron was like, "I don't have time to wait. Throw him in there."
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. He then holds the spike and, like, approaches Depth Charge, getting ready to stab him. To which he says, "Like, ignore the pain. It is only going to get worse." For Depth Charge. Like, springs up, and he fires, like, he uses his disc firing action, as we'll discuss when you get to his toy, to, like, blast him and give him space. Rampage also says, like, I'm flattered you chased me so far, but it was you who caged me the last time. He's just like, this time I won't bother with a cage creep. And so they start firing at each other, and, like, again, in a very Batman move, Depth Charge uses and protects himself by using, like, his manta ray wings as a cape. He's getting blasted.
I also did not come up with this, but he is Bat Manta Ray.
There's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rampage starts charging him as the tank, and he takes out his tail and throws it as a spear within the barrel, causing, like, Rampage to blow himself up. Of course,
I think we've, like, firmly confirmed that Rampage's weak spot is his cannon.
Yeah. Maybe you should do something about that. Anyways,
like,
so...
Like what, put a silencer on it?
I don't know. But anyway, Depth Charge is damaged and is getting ready to finish him off. But unfortunately for him, Rampage isn't a soul whack anymore. And a quick strike takes him out. Shikan's like, too slow, and laughs as two missiles zoom in from out of the horizon and blast him. Optimus has picked up Cheetor and they come in to make the save. They get to where it's like, Optimus is like, oh crap, it's Death Charge, we need to bring him back. And Cheetor's like, what about Rampage? And then of course turns and Rampage is gone. And because again, he is a horror movie monster, and if you like take his eyes for a second, he's gonna disappear.
He's probably in the water.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, and then we cut back to the Maximal base. I guess what's left is the Axelon at this point. To which Red Trap is not impressed and is like, who is this herring anyways? Is like, he's a manta ray. Not a herring at all. Not a bony fish. It's cartilage for a skeleton. Closer to a shark than a herring.
Are manta rays chondrichthyes?
I forget the exact name, but I know they're closely related to sharks.
Yeah, so cartilage skeleton is chondrichthyes, bone skeleton is osteoichthyes. I used some biology knowledge, but anyways.
I hope it got it right. Otherwise, like, I have a friend who's, like, a marine biologist, and she's probably, like mentally screaming. I don't think she listens to the podcast, but she probably has a sense of, like, I'm getting this wrong.
I've got a marine biologist friend, too. you keep going with this. I'm going to check.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Optimus fills us on the deal, where apparently Death Charge is from Colony Omicron, which was the colony where Rampage escaped. Not coincidentally, he is the only survivor of Colony Omicron. After Rampage escaped, he apparently spent, I believe he says, 4 cycles tracking him down and dragging him back to the Maximal Council, where he reordered asked the Council to figure out a way to extinguish Rampage's scar. Instead, they gave Protoform X to Primal and Rhinox. And he was less than pleased with that. In fact, when he expresses his displeasure as soon as he gets out, he first says, Doc's like, what the pit are you? For Optimus speaks, and he recognizes him, and he is not happy to see him. He's just like, yeah, I'm here to clean up your mess. Mm. Like, Cheetor even tries to be, like, friendly, like, oh, hey, you saved me, and just looks like, it's just like, get out of my way, kitty cat.
So manta rays are cartilaginous skeleton, so they are closer related to sharks than fish.
Yep. Yeah. I knew that.
Yep.
Yeah, but even he is caught aback by the arc when he sees it. And that's when, and Primal gives the deal, and just like, hey, we're fighting for a war for survival. This is like, you can't just, you gotta help us. And he's just like, I don't want to clean up another one of your messes.
And I think he said, I'm already cleaning up your last mess. So, good news, as soon as Rampage is dead, he'll help you out.
Yeah. Yeah, Primal tells like, X is not alone. He's a Predacon now, under Megatron's control. There's 6 of them. Well, I've got to hand it to you, Primal. When you screw up, you do it big time. But thanks for the tip. And he goes to leave the base. Cheetor's is like, this kind of sucks from just, like, kind of abandoning us. And Primal comments is like, well, there used to be a time where he wouldn't question or, like, be like this. But X changed him.
I think it was, yeah, it's gonna suck that he's not coming back. And then Optimus said, it's a time he wouldn't have even left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so our last scene with Death Charge is him, like, exiting out of the arc. Silver and Black Ramp, you know, turning the cannons on him, but Primal waves off, and he changes into flight mode and goes off. But that's not our last scene of the episode. As we end this episode, Rampage is like, it was so really nice of you to come. So glad you could stay. Oh, we'll have such fun! And then before he starts laughing maniacally, and this is as he, like, blows up Death Charge's ship, so to ensure he can't leave, and of course, so the Maximals can't contact Cybertron. And that's...
I was gonna say, like, Rampage, like, got even more jokery with him around, like, but, like, specifically, I feel like he was mostly the Mark Hamill Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, that little monologue he had at the end of the episode that, like,
mm-hmm.
I could totally see animated Joker saying that exact same thing, mm-hmm. but less so Jack Nicholson Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So yeah, no, we get our new Maximal, who is very much vengeance. That's we'll try not to make all of the Batman jokes coming. He needs to do stuff. Sadly, I don't think. Oh, I guess he doesn't need a grappling hook gun because he can actually fly.
Yeah. is that making Batman Beyond then?
Maybe. Yeah. He's not really taking up the mantle from anyone. I don't even think he's technically, even though like Depth Charge totally sounds like a name that would be a Gen 1 Transformers name, I don't think there actually is.
There wasn't, but there is a Gen 2 Transformer by the name of Manta Ray.
There is.
By the way, like, funny you should say mantle, because as I was looking up if they were cartilage skeletons, Manta apparently is Spanish and Portuguese for mantle.
Mm, that makes sense.
We're making so many accidental references to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the episode. Did we go over all the trivia, right?
Yeah. I believe you brought it up as we're going through.
Okay. Cool. All right. So that's the episode then.
Yeah. So let's character spotlight on who else? Depth Charge. So Depth Charge mentioned he is a transmetal and. He's one of the bigger figures. I think technically by the classification he's an Ultra. Of course, he has a toy bio. Depth Charge would rather study military strategies than execute them, and he was commissioned by Optimus Prime to be the first line of defense against undersea aggressors. He's described as an inspired leader and dedicated warrior who battles alongside his faithful platoon. Cyber Shark served under him. So, wow, that one was not at all written for the show.
Nope.
Nice shout out to Cyber Shark.
Yeah, I made sure to include that because that's like one of the few toys I actually had as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And actually, the him Cybershark tripping on him is actually not part of his bio; it's just part of Cybershark's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If anyone doesn't know who Cybershark is, but saw the 2001 Robots in Disguise, he's basically Skybite. They're the same mold.
Skybite is the best thing to come out of that show.
So he's voiced by David Soboloff, who's probably best known currently as the voice of Grodd on CW's The Flash, voice of Drax the Destroyer in several animated Marvel projects, and Lobo in Young Justice and Injustice Gods Among Us. Within Transformers Media, he also voices Teletran 1 within Beast Wars, and he does Shockwave and the Viacons in Transformers Prime.
Oh, I didn't realize it was the same one.
Cool. The Shockwave and the Viacons?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until I looked this up.
Yeah.
They don't really talk much, but...
Yeah. Lots of other, like, superhero projects, but sadly no actual Batman.
Yeah. Actually, let's see, did he... Yeah, he did some stuff for... Yeah, he plays two different DC characters, neither of them being Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So his foreign names, in Japanese, he's just... Jeff's Charge pronounced in a Japanese dialect. Katie in French calls him Torpia, which is torpedo. Italian calls him Mantas in the toy and Abyssus in the cartoon. Taiwan, he's Devilfish, which is sounds cooler, but that's really just the literal translation of what they call manta rays.
Manta rays sometimes get called devil rays in English, for that matter.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, because they have the things that come out that look like horns.
Oh yeah, the little horns. And then in Chinese, he's Daring Vanguard.
That's actually a cool name.
Yeah. Polish, I'm going to try to say this right. Glebinobot, which is Abyssal Bot. And then in Spanish, he's just Manta Raya.
Mm.
Yeah.
should note that one of his gimmicks is he has one of those, like, disc-launching things that you probably remember, like, you may remember from other toys, like the pizza launcher from Teenage Mutant Turtles, which I think was reused for, like, the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves line of memory, if my toy trivia remembers right.
Yeah, and I think the 2012 series, like, in the show, they had a thing that would launch manhole covers. They probably reused that gimmick for the toys.
Or related to Transformers, like Laser Rod Optimus Prime for Generations 2. It's a good, fun gimmick.
Yeah.
So, I guess for messages from the Golden Disc, not the...
Well, do we need to go over his toys?
Oh, yeah. So, I'm pretty certain it's just the one toy.
I had
Oh, no, that's toys. Right. He does have a couple other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, his main one is the Transmetal one, which then got recolored into the Universe line, which I actually kind of like that one. It's a bit more a drab color scheme, but it's a bit more varied than his base one.
He looks like a zombie.
Well, I mean, he does get blown up out of the same one.
Yeah.
And his only other toy is for the Transmutators. He got a repaint of a toy Terradai. So he has a unique sculpted head, though he transforms into a plane with like with a delta wing, like kind of the delta forward swept wings.
It's a Sukhoi SU-47.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which okay? Why does a guy named Depth Shark turn into a plane on Cybertron?
I mean, because aquatic modes are always like a weird thing in like any sort of fiction that doesn't permanently take place below water.
Mm.
Thing like, yes, it's very important so long as you're in the water, but then like it means you run into like the night boat scenario problem where you have to like write scenarios around being around the water. Mm. Which I imagine is why they made sure his vehicle mode flies. Because like as much as they want to like do new stuff with water, they probably didn't want to have everything in the water.
Oh, plus like there's probably not any actual like seas on Cybertron.
Yeah, there can't be a channel, an inlet, or a fjord for him every time.
Yeah, well, I also meant like just it's Cybertron. If there were mech fluid lakes, it would probably mean something's wrong with Primus.
Yeah, and the bright side of the toy has a trident, which. Is not a thing he actually has, but it is appropriate. Oh, also, I should mention his original toy has, like, Bo can use, separate his tail and use it as a melee weapon, and has the shark gun that launches missiles like he does in the show. So, they made sure to use everything.
For his timeline toys, the caption on here, I'm assuming this is a reference to Jaws, I'll chase him around the moons of Nebulos. Around the Devastator winds and round the pit's flame before I give him up.
Hmm.
I'm assuming that's from Jaws. I haven't actually seen Jaws.
Which quote is that from?
For his timelines toy.
Uh-huh.
It.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a Moby Dick line.
Oh, okay. I haven't read that either, so.
Neither have I, but it's like, it's old-timey enough, I'm gonna guess.
Okay. Yeah, alright, so that's his, that's our character spotlight.
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm. Sadly, I did not get a chance, a bit behind on research, so I didn't get a chance to see, like, what he's done in other continuities. It doesn't look like he showed up in most other things, aside from,
I think he showed up in Uprising.
Beast Wars Uprising.
Yeah.
I have to admit, the more I read it, the more I wish I could, like, get a look at it like that, to actually be able to, like, give a proper thing. It's just like, oh, here's a weird bit of storyline from just, like, reading it on TF Wiki.
Like I said, like, the bits of story from Uprising that I've gleaned, it gets pretty crazy. Like, I think I've made this comparison before, but it's basically the ultimate universe to Beast Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You can write something as crazy as you want because you're working with a blank slate.
Presumably, it has less dated pop culture references than the ultimate universe did.
Yeah, although, like...
Remember when the Hulk wanted to smash Freddie Prinze Jr.? That was definitely a thing that happened.
I was, like, probably the craziest thing that I, at least I know of from the Uprising universe. Humanity undertakes a project where they resurrect every single human who's ever died. So much so that the proto-humans that we meet and become characters on this show are also, like, brought back, and I'm assuming they're made smart.
We're just gonna move on, because I don't know how to process that.
Yeah, no, like, because second or third time I've told you that, you have not been able to process it any time.
Yeah. Anyways, so, messages from the Golden Disc.
Since I wrote this, I should probably explain this. Jason Bischoff, who's the brand manager for Power Rangers at Saban Brands, there was the Bumblebee trailer came out recently, and his reaction was, "I'm a Beast Wars guy, but this looks pretty cool." And I, on our account, I just retweeted it with a comment, "One of us," and he liked that.
Uh-huh.
That's really it.
Nice. Yeah. We could just like a minor side tangent for that. That movie looks surprisingly good, you know, for being a live-action Transformers movie. I know, like, everyone was hoping it would be good because it has, like, the director of Kubo and the Two Strings, and John Cena's in it. But it looks like it could be actually good.
Yeah, no, like, I recognized Starscream immediately, and I'm glad to see him in one of these movies for more than 5 minutes.
Heck, like, the Bumblebee, I mean, it's obviously just like, oh yeah, he turns into Volkswagen Beetle, but like, also he like, they may just try to make his design actual cute and appealing, while at the same time he's still recognizable as being the movie character.
Something I want to mention is, like that scene where the girl's like picking him out, huh? And the fact that he's a Volkswagen Beetle now, again, I'm like, huh? that was the setup, that was the first part of the trailer for Herbie Fully Loaded.
Wow, that's something I haven't thought about in a while.
I see, like, a girl finding him. Okay, not magical, but a live Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
That's Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, like, I mean, I usually say that, like, the trailers for the Transformers are a trap, because, like, say what you will about Michael Bay, he knows how to cut a good trailer. But this one actually feels like, oh, like, it might be more interested in feeling, like, emotions instead of, like, explosions and Prime taking people's faces and cutting out their spines. And have I mentioned I am uncomfortable with the amount of violence in some of the, particularly in some of the later one of those movies.
I keep hearing that he's been taken off the franchise. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yes, I don't think he's even around in a producer role. So hopefully that'll be good.
We'll see. Everyone look out, just check who's involved with this project. Maybe that'll give us a feeling of good or bad.
It has like a woman who wrote the script, which would be like a refreshing take.
Yeah. If anyone, like, just so everyone knows like how big of an impact he actually had on those movies, go for the first movie. Watch the scene where Michaela is like checking under the hood. Don't look at the screen. Just listen.
Uh-huh.
The framing and the writing for that scene are, like, complete two different things.
Uh-huh.
Like, she actually, like, she's a much more well-rounded character if you just listen to the scene instead of looking at it.
Yeah. I kind of feel so bad for, why am I forgetting the actor? I can't believe
it. Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. Like, with the story she has behind the scenes, she went through a whole bunch of shit, left, and then came back, and, like, I imagine, like, he was probably not 100% happy to, or like came back for like the second Ninja Turtles movie, and like it was like, oh yeah, he's back in the family, she's back in the family, and like I can imagine she like came back with like gritted teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like speaking out against Bay kind of like destroyed her career for a while.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. So now MVB. So
you started. My MVB is kind of gonna have to. Or, okay, as I, in the spirit of giving recognition to characters, and since I know what yours is probably gonna be, I'm going to give it to Rampage. Because Batman isn't as awesome without his Joker.
Yeah. Then I will go for Death Charge, because, hey, it's Batman.
Yeah.
I'll always be a Batman stan. When Batman's not being terrible. That's a whole nother rant I could go off on Batman.
Yeah.
Alright, so that brings us to our next episode preview. While trying to salvage the Sentinel module from the ruins of the Axalon, Rat Trap finds himself caught between Death Charge and Rampage. Changing of the Guard. Okay, come and tune in next week for Changing of the Guard.
I do not remember this episode.
I actually do remember this. We're gonna get some more underwater adventures.
And that little sub on Rat Trap's desk finally pays off.
Yep. Alright. Anyways, so in closing, thank you for listening to the Axalon Archive. If you have any questions or want us to get the want guests on the show, just want to talk about Beast Wars, you can reach us on the Twitter at Axalon Archives or by email at axalonarchives@gmail.com. Find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcast, Podknife, Podbean, Podchaser, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. Please leave a rating and a review because it helps people find the show. Check out our website at axalon.buzzsprout.com. And if you want to follow either of us on Twitter, you can follow me at Discord_Inc.
You can follow me at Doubtback.
And until next time, the Beast Wars continue.
Beast or bot, we're still the baddest.